Gwen, thanks so much for coming back to speak with me again.
You're very welcome.
I spoke with you when you first announced your candidacy, and I'm curious, campaigning during COVID, this must be quite a challenge. What are you hearing on the campaign trail as you're speaking with prospective constituents, and how are you doing campaigning during COVID?
Campaigning during COVID does naturally have its issues. But I will say, people, when they feel comfortable coming to the door, are very open and interested in hearing about the campaign, have been very supportive for the most part. The challenge is, I think, people are still not all that comfortable answering the door for someone that they don't know. And even though I wear a mask and the mask clearly has my campaign information on it so that folks can see it when I'm at the door, I think people are still reluctant. Sometimes people will kind of open the door and peer out before fully opening the door to have a conversation.
Can you tell me what your priorities will be should you win this seat?
Well, I think that for me, the priorities will really be about bringing civility, transparency, and integrity back to county government. I think we went through a period of time where folks felt pretty comfortable accessing the county, and I think it's taken a turn for the worse. For me, what's important is that government should be for the people and of the people. And that means creating systems by which people can communicate to government when they need to, good, bad, or indifferent. I think it also means really focusing on the issues that are important to people who live in the county. And those issues run the gamut from our environmental issues to things like automation. And I know you spoke to Justin Foster, and he's really committed to bringing automation to county government. I think it also means really building community and helping people feel whole again, looking at the resources that we have in the county, looking at the resources that we can access from state and federal government, and making the best of those, making sure that those resources come into the county and then are distributed equitably in ways that respond to the needs of the constituency.
There are three really important issues facing Rensselaer County, and I'm going to ask you what you think county government can do to deal with each one. The first is the impact of climate change. We've seen record and persistent flooding and damage to property because of extreme weather just this summer. What do you think that county government can do to address the impact of climate change?
Well, I think part of responding to climate change in regard to things like storms is really looking at our infrastructure. As I say, you could put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. So we can pave as many roads as we want, but if what's underneath is not shored up, then it's for naught. And so I think we really need to pay attention to our culverts, our underwater systems, to make sure that things are situated in such a way that when we get these kinds of record rains, and they will continue, our roads and our bridges are stable enough that we won't have the kind of devastating collapses that we had this past summer.
Speaking of water, what do you think needs to be done about the water contamination issues facing residents in our county in towns like Postenkill, Hoosic Falls, and Petersburg?
Well, interesting you should ask that. I was just at the community gathering in Postenkill. The thing that really resonated to me was the need for transparency. People in that community really want the county to step up and provide them with information about what the source is. And I know there's still a lack of information about what the source of the contamination in Post and Kill is, unlike in Hoosic Falls, where you had large manufacturers and it was easier to trace. But in Post and Kill, there seems to be a lack of research into where the plumes are, how far the plumes stretch. And the people in Post and Kill just want answers. They want to know why the state and the county have agreed to test it up. At this point, it's about 20 wells as opposed to testing any well of any citizen that wants their wells tested within a certain radius. And to do that at no cost to the individuals. I think that that's a huge challenge for that community. And certainly some areas of the community are more affected than others, but we don't even know what communities those are, which neighborhoods around the school are most affected and which ones are least affected. And so I think the folks in Post and Kill really want answers. And as I sat through the hearings, you know, as someone who's worked for the state for many, many years, I know how difficult it is to go to a community forum and not have the answers. And at some point, I think we just have to all kind of take a breath and say, we don't know what we don't know. And we need to do more research, look more broadly, and come back to answer those questions. I will say there was a strong commitment on the part of the state to continue to have dialogue. I did not hear that come from the county.
Do you think county government can do more to protect residents from the coronavirus pandemic and future public health crises?
I do. I think what I hear from constituents, from people as I go door to door or just meet up with people wherever I am, is the lack of information that comes out of the county about the incidents, those who are most affected, for example, you know, no information about which age groups in this county have been more affected than others. I think those are the kinds of things that help put people at ease and help folks feel committed to doing what is necessary to prevent this pandemic from continuing. I think that one of the issues is that there's just not enough information. You know, I think that the vax van is a great thing. I think it's a great opportunity traveling around the county to provide vaccinations for those who want it. But I think we need to do a better job of really encouraging people to get the vaccine. To everyone who is eligible should be able to get the vaccine in a way that is convenient to them. And I'm not sure that that public service message is out.
You've got a tough race against incumbent Steve McLaughlin. Can you tell me a few things that you would say to people who consider themselves conservative or Republican to convince them that they should vote for you?
I intend to be someone who will govern for everyone. I would not categorize myself necessarily as a moderate or conservative, but I would categorize myself as someone who is committed to the people who elect me into office. And that sometimes means swallowing the bitter pill and going in a direction that I may not have had front and center for my primary constituency. But it is in the best interest of the people of the county. I would say that I am open to hearing people's concerns, good, bad, or indifferent. I think that one of the things that is necessary from those of us in public office is the ability to listen and hear and be responsive. It doesn't mean we could fix every problem, but it does mean we can hear about those problems and bring due diligence to the table in trying to determine whether or not it is fixable on our level. And if not, if it's fixable on another level, it means partnering with our state and federal government, as well as our towns. And I think that the other thing that I would say is I'm really invested in working with our towns throughout the county to really help them bring to county government the voices of the people who have elected them into office, so that we are really in touch with what the needs in the cities, the villages, as well as the towns of the people who live there, and not just sort of stringing it together out of full cloth, but that we really know what people need and want from their government.
What do you have to say about Twitter's brief suspension of Mr. McLaughlin for, quote, abuse and harassment, unquote, after tweeting about CNN's Brian Stelter?
Well, what I would say is that it was in bad form. I think that it shows a lack of civility on his part. We can disagree with people's positions, and clearly he disagrees with mine and I disagree with him, but we don't have to battle it out publicly in an abusive and harmful way. I think that we need to really be professional about our disagreements, and I think that professionalism goes a long way.
Gwen, can you tell me what brings you joy these days?
Oh, gee, what brings me joy? You know, the thing I would have said 18 months ago, spending time with my grandchildren, but that has been challenged by the pandemic. So what brings me joy these days is really being able to see them virtually, to engage with friends. I have a wide group of friends in the state and outside of the state, and just being able to touch base with them and hear about what's going on in their lives and sort of step out of the campaign for a few minutes brings me tremendous joy. And music. I just like listening to music, all kinds of music, all day in my car as I'm walking around with my headphones.
Have you gotten a chance to see any live music since some of the pandemic restrictions have been lifted?
You know, I have not. One of the things that has been challenging for me in the past 6 months is I was diagnosed with breast cancer back in March. And as a result, having had to undergo treatment for breast cancer, I've been one of those people that's been in this sort of position of feeling like my immune system has been compromised and I need to limit being in large crowds for a while. And I miss it. I do miss it. I did go to a live concert at a local venue that was outdoors a couple of weeks ago and sat in my car, basically, just because I felt safer, not because it was a huge crowd and people were respectful in terms of, or at least it appeared to be in terms of how they moved around. But for me, it just felt like it was safer for me to sit in my car with my windows down and I could hear perfectly well. So I was good.
Gwen, I hope you don't mind me asking you such a personal health question, but I imagine that listeners might be curious. Do you think that your diagnosis of breast cancer will impact your ability to serve?
I do not. I have gone through a treatment regimen that at this point in this short period of time, I can say that I am a survivor of breast cancer. I do not have breast cancer. When you have breast cancer, there's a 5-year window, they say, that if there's no recurrence, then you are pretty clear. I know that's not 100%, but that's my goal. I feel that my medical professionals have me on a really good regimen. I feel great. I think I got through the worst of it before things with the campaign really ramped up, and I feel completely ready to serve when elected.
You consider yourself at 100% right now?
I do. You know, I think it's really important that we talk about this issue. Breast Cancer Awareness Month is October, and I know that's very meaningful for many women. For myself, I was inspired by a recent disclosure from Amy Klobuchar, where she was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer back in March, which is the same time that I was, and we went through similar treatment. and came out on the other end of it. And, you know, she didn't miss a beat. I don't intend to. Yeah, there were a few weeks where you're not feeling at your best, but you get past it. And I was just inspired by the statement that she made. And I hope that I can be inspiring for other women who are going through a similar process. But at the end of the day, I feel that I have come out on the other end and I'm ready to go.
Gwen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. Be safe on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much. And thank you for inviting me.